In fact, let's start in Galatians chapter 1. I'm going to read down the first couple of chapters here. Sort of catch us up on where we are in Galatians. By the way, what's the theme of the book of Galatians? What's the issue in Galatians? What's the problem? Anybody remember? Paul is afraid they are going to go back to Judaism. What is the specific issue that has arisen? He being who? Yeah. Yeah. For backing away from the Gentile tables when the Jews came down. The principal theme of Galatians, of course, is justification by faith alone. Probably the greatest commentary on this book down through the years has been written by Martin Luther. That was his baby. And he wrote a great commentary on this. The central issue is justification by faith alone. Of course, this was the issue that led Martin Luther and others to break away from the Catholic Church, was they began to realize that the Scriptures teach that you're saved by believing only, that you don't have to do all these other things in order to get saved. Well, when Paul established these churches in Galatia and then left to go other places, right behind Paul came these Judaizing teachers that came in and said, okay, we recognize that things are different now that Jesus has come, but you know what? It's still necessary to be circumcised to be saved. In other words, you have to become a Jew in that way to be saved. So Paul is angry in this epistle because of that teaching. And then, of course, we saw last week that even Peter had to be confronted face to face because Peter was having a little trouble. Peter believed it and knew it to be true, but Peter was having trouble breaking away from the peer pressure. So let's start in verse 1 here. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. It's interesting to me there that it's Jesus that is delivering us from this present evil world, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel. Now you'll start to see the angry tone that Paul uses. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ, and you're removed unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you. Those are those teachers that have come in. And they would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you. Well, what was Paul's gospel? Salvation by grace and by faith alone. Now, if anyone comes in and preaches any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. What Paul's saying there is these Judaizing teachers, those are the men pleasers. They're trying to please these Jews over here who still think that you need to be a Jew to get saved. And they've come in and they're adding to the gospel and they're the men pleasers. But Paul says, I'm not pleasing men. I'm only trying to please God. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, By the way, when you see that word conversation in the New Testament, to us, conversation means words, doesn't it? But to them, that word conversation meant their daily walk, their actions, their behavior. For ye have heard of my conversation or behavior in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. Now here, look at the grace that is involved in the saving of Paul, starting in verse 15. But when it pleased me, it doesn't say that, does it? It says, when it pleased God. When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, so Paul, there was a sanctifying influence on Paul when he first left his mother's womb and a purpose on his life, and he called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. Who did the revealing? God, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither when I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and abode with him 15 days, but other of the apostles saw I none, save James the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. So Paul did not go to Jerusalem for 3 years. He finally went up. He spent 2 weeks, 15 days with Peter. And then Paul started preaching in Syria and Cilicia. And so he's preaching all this time. Then 14 years after, it doesn't say after what, it's either after his conversion or 14 years after he went to see Peter. It doesn't really matter. It was a fairly long time. At any rate, 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. Now, who was Titus? A Gentile convert who was not circumcised. And so he took Titus up as a test case. And I went up by revelation. What does it mean, I went up by revelation? God told him to go. Revelation is when God reveals something. So I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, apparently the leaders of the church, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, now he's talking about Peter and some of the important people there in Jerusalem. I don't think he's trying to be disrespectful here. He's saying really that men are not to be respected. Men are not to be overly respected. And if Peter is wrong in his doctrine, then, you know, so what? I mean, like any other men, they can be wrong. It says, but of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. Paul was not a respecter of persons when it came to the other apostles. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. even though he was talking to very reputable people, the apostles, they added nothing to his gospel. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. So in this confrontation that they had, now that confrontation there is also described in Acts 15. And it's called what? What's it called? In Acts 15, the Jerusalem Council. And so who sort of prevails here? Is it Paul or Peter? It's Paul. Paul and his gospel prevail. Now go to verse 11. This is where we picked up last week, and let's review briefly. So, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain men came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. So Peter came to Antioch and he sat down with the Gentiles at their tables, apparently ate the Gentile foods. So Peter was showing by his actions that he agreed these Judaistic food requirements are done away. But when they were come, when the people from Jerusalem came, Peter withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, inasmuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Boy, this was a hard break from Judaism, wasn't it? It was very difficult for these Jews to break away from the only religion that they had ever known. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Now here's the situation. Peter had been living like the Gentiles. Now when these other Jews come, Peter backs off, and now he's going to live like a Jew again. So Paul says, if you live after the manner of the Gentiles and not as the Jews, why are you now compelling the Gentiles to live like the Jews or to obey the Jewish regulations? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, who is that? We who are Jews by nature, who? Paul, Peter, James, all those apostles, knowing, now he doesn't think, we think, or, you know, we're a little confused about the matter, but he says, we who are Jews by nature, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. We know it. How did they know it? Well, they knew it because they were taught by Jesus Christ. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ. See, the Jews, even Paul and Peter, were not saved by obeying the Jewish regulations. And they knew it. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. Now specifically, the thing that is at issue here is eating. They were eating at the, Peter was eating at the Gentile tables and then he moved away. So it's fellowshipping with the Gentiles and eating their foods. That is the specific issue. But what's really at issue is the whole Judaistic set of regulations. Because first they were trying to get everybody circumcised. That didn't work. Now Peter comes down and, all right, well, we solved the circumcision issue, but now let's deal with the eating issue. And Paul won't have anything to do with it. So we know that by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now here, I think, is where we left off last time, and I want to see if we can understand a couple of verses here. It says, if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners. What does that mean? What does it mean? But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, who is it here in this scenario that is seeking to be justified by Christ instead of being justified by? Yeah, it's Paul, Peter, James, the believing Jews. We've already said they know that a man is not justified by the works of the law. So it says in verse 17, if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners. Now notice the word if there. It's a hypothetical. You see, this is what Peter was suggesting. Peter was suggesting that if you are seeking to be justified by faith alone, and you're sitting over here at the Gentile tables, and you're eating forbidden foods, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? Has Christ caused you to sin? Obviously, the answer is no. Christ would not cause anyone to sin. You know, by very definition, the answer is God forbid. But by Peter's actions, that's what he was saying. You see, Peter and these other haughty Jews were saying, if you eat at the Gentile tables, you're sinning. So we're moving away from the Gentile tables, coming back to our Jewish tables. And we're going to eat the proper foods and let them eat the improper foods, and y'all are sinning. So Paul is saying, are you saying that Christ is leading us into sin? Because Christ is the one that told us this gospel, justification by faith. So if while we seek to be justified by Christ, this is what Christ told us to do, go to the Gentiles, everything's clean. He even told Peter that in Acts chapter 10 when Peter had to go to Cornelius' home. If while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners. That's just the hypothetical. That's what Peter was suggesting, that they were sinning. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. Who is really doing the sinning here? That's the question. Is it Paul that's eating at the Gentile tables? That's what Peter is suggesting. No, who is doing the sinning? Peter. And that's what Paul is saying in verse 18. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Who was building again the things which he destroyed? Peter. Peter had already said, you don't have to be circumcised. Peter had come up to Antioch and was eating with the Gentiles. He had destroyed that old system of Judaism. He had leveled it. And it was laid to the ground. It was all over with. Peter was all good with justification by faith. It's fine to eat with Gentiles. It's fine to eat their foods. Now Peter goes back, and Paul says, if you build again the things which you destroyed, You're going to build that old system of Judaism back up again? If you're doing that, you make yourself a transgressor. So Peter is saying Paul is sinning. Paul says, you're the sinner. All right, Paul goes on and says, for I through the law am dead to the law. Now Paul's going to go on and express this idea of being dead to the law. What law are we talking about? We're talking about Judaism, the Mosaic law. Paul says he's dead to the law. Paul is suggesting here that he has nothing to do with the law anymore. I'm dead to it. And he's dead to it because he has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that has taken, Paul in Romans teaches that you're taken out from under the law. Here he says he's dead to the law. So does Paul have to regard those old Jewish eating regulations anymore? No, he's dead to the law. Let me just comment on this for a minute or two and then we'll be done. He is dead to the law because Jesus was penalized under the law. The law has done all it can do to Paul. It has poured out its wrath on Jesus on the cross. The law has exhausted its penalty, and therefore, Paul says, I am dead to the law. The law can't hurt me anymore. It has nothing to do with me. I've been taken out from under it. And now I live by faith in Jesus Christ. I don't live by those regulations anymore. I don't offer the sacrifices. I don't even eat the foods that I once had to eat. Now I can eat what I couldn't eat before. And he's saying, I am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. This is the reason Paul has nothing to do with the law anymore. It's because he was in Christ. We've talked about this extensively. When God elects us, he puts us in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him. So we being in Christ, when Christ died, we died. The penalty was imposed upon us whenever Jesus died. That's why Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm still walking around here. I'm still living. Yet it's really not me. I died there on Calvary with him, but it's Christ that liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not by regulations, not by Jewish, Judaistic regulations, but by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Well, you could preach 3 sermons on that verse right there. I do not frustrate the grace of God. See, this is what Peter was doing. By building again those old regulations, Peter was frustrating the grace that was poured out on us and the freedom that was poured out on us in Christ. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Christ's death didn't mean anything if Judaism still applies. Everybody kind of see? Okay. All right, well, that was short and sweet, hopefully helpful. And we'll pick up next time in Galatians chapter 3. All right, if you'll stand with me, we'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. We thank you for all of your good things that you give to us. Thank you for Jesus who died for us. Thank you, Lord, that we have been taken out from under the penalty of the law, and we are actually dead to the law. The law has no claim on us whatsoever. We pray, Lord, that we would continue to recall and remember that from day to day. Help us to live by grace. Help us to know that we are forgiven. Help us to live with a relaxed mental attitude based on that truth.
Lord, be with us as we go to our homes and bring us back at the next meeting time. And we ask these things in Jesus' name.